everybody. Welcome to Friday Filibuster. We got a trio here. Just me, Daryl, and Eric. Daryl, how's it going?
Good.
Eric, how are you?
Also fine.
Also fine? That's good. Glad no one is crushing
fine,
spirit
girl, fine.
Right now. So I always thought we were talking briefly with Daryl before we hit record. He is currently enjoying some Married with Children, so I'll let you kick it off and talk about what your experience has been thus far.
Okay, so I'm reviewing, who's putting it out?
Shop Factory? It's Mill Creek, isn't it?
It is Mill Creek, yeah. It's, I guess, a re-release of older releases, I think. But
that's so Mill Creek.
Oh, yeah. But every 3 or 4 years, you got to do it.
That's right.
It's the first two seasons over 3 discs, and I'm about I'm 2 episodes into disc 3. So given that I didn't get the discs till Monday, it's been a pretty Bundy kind of week. It's a one-note show, and it's pretty frustrating. I have a hard time understanding how – what did it go, 9 years?
Oh, yeah, something ungodly
or like something
that.
Like that.
I mean, it really kind of kept – that 21 Jump Street kind of kept Fox afloat in the early days, right?
Yeah. And it was – I think they were trying to do with this like – Roseanne was popular, so they wanted to do like – they were going to do an edgier version of Roseanne. And that's fine. You know, there's a lot more – it's a lot franker about sex than any show that was on TV at the time. Mm. So for whatever that's worth. But it's got a lot of talent on the show. Ed O'Neill, Katie Sagal, and Christina Applegate are all super talented. But the writing's not so great, and it's pretty one note.
So why don't you continue? And anything else you want to add that you've any movies you've seen, the typical updates?
I did see the remake of Carrie earlier this week, and I probably was wrong about my Buster Award for most unnecessary remake, which I gave to the Chainsaw 3D. This is the most unnecessary remake that I've ever seen. And the big final sequence, not with the mom, but at the prom.
It
looks like a video game cinematic.
Yeah.
Like it looks like something, say, out of like you played Mass Effect.
Oh yeah.
All right. So you got like what are they called? The Biotics.
Yep.
That group, and like you're you're gonna face one of the main villains, and and they cut to a cinematic, and they start doing blowing fire, and the wires go crazy, and. It looks terrible.
Like the low budget practicality of the massacre in the original Carrie kind of sold it.
Sells it. At least it's stuff. At least there's fire there.
Yeah,
it just
looks like fire hose, too. I don't know. Was there
in this one?
In the original Carrie, maybe.
In the original Carrie, I don't remember.
I think so. Maybe
wasn't that on maybe whatever. But regardless, I remember being stuff on strings or whatever. You assume that wasn't that low budget, but it was practically executed, which was kind of
Yeah. I mean, Julianne Moore's decent, I guess, and Chloe Moretz is decent, I guess.
How about the end? The ending.
It's a little overblown, but so's the Brian De Palma movie, and so's the Stephen King story. So it's pretty underwhelming, but I watched it.
All right, so you did do that. Good for you.
Nobody can take that away from me.
No one will ever take that away from me. Eric?
Hi.
Oh, what do you got? Yeah, hi.
All right, hi. How's it going? Hey. Watched a movie that I'd been kind of looking forward to for a while when I first heard about it, and happened to see over the weekend via a random tweet that it was free on Xbox over the weekend. So I checked out Hellbaby, which is the newest one by from Tom Lennon and Robert Ben Grant.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of state people in it. Michael Ian Black's in it. David Wayne is a voice in it. There's a bunch of other people in it. Rob Hubel, Paul Scheer, Rob Corddry, a bunch of people. And it's essentially, it seems like it's a comedy version of whatever that movie is that's out now, Devil's Due, about the devil baby. In this case, there's a couple who move into a house. It's like a kind of a murder house type thing, and she gets possessed And Tom Lennon and Ben Grant are sort of like these priests, these exorcism specialists who kind of eventually make it there to take it on. It's the gags aren't necessarily brand new stuff. There's a lot of the kinds of things you'd expect to see in this kind of movie, But I think what really works, and I laughed a lot when I watched it, are the performances. I think that it there are a lot of really good people doing stuff, and they really sell the material. Keegan-Michael Key, who is half of Key and Peele, plays their sort of their kind of neighbor, although he seems to live in their crawl space and just pop in at random times. He's very funny. And there's a lot of good stuff with Tom Lennon and Ben Grant. So I think it's worth watching. I was surprised after I watched it to go and kind of get a sense of how kind of reviled it apparently is online. Critics did not seem to like it. I think it has like a 34% on Rotten Tomato or something like that. Which I don't know. I mean, comedy is subjective. You never can tell this kind of thing. But I think there's a lot of funny stuff in it. I think it's definitely worth checking out.
Is it state absurdity type of stuff?
Yeah, there's some of that stuff. I mean, it's probably a little bit more in line with, you know, what they did in like Reno or something like that. It's not kind of just out of left field necessarily. They certainly draw on a lot of like horror film conventions. And it gets really nutty, especially at the end, but, it's more just, yeah. It's not. It's absurd, but not like that. Not kind of, you know, out of nowhere. So
yeah. All right. Speaking of which, I was compelled to watch some State last night, and I just watched a whole bunch of the State, and can't tell you why. I just felt compelled to do it, and I did.
Well, there was there's a show on Comedy Central I'd never watched before called At Midnight, which is apparently like a kind of a Twitter based game show where they bring different comedians on. And the other night they had basically a State reunion on the show. And that's one of the reasons why I watched it. Michael Showalter, Kerry Kenny, and Michael Ian Black were like the guests. And at certain points throughout the show, they basically showed that everyone else, I think minus Kevin, I'm blanking on his name, was there. Kevin Allison. Everyone except Kevin Allison was there, and they all took part. So it was kind of interesting to have like a mini State reunion.
Oh, nice. Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's some video game news. I've just been kind of, for some reason, loading up my backlog of games, even though I have no time to do anything. But Microsoft has blown out some sales, so I bought like an old Dungeons and Dragon brawler that they like from the arcade game, which was a lot of fun. And
which one?
Dungeons and Dragons. I could give
Blood
it
Dragon.
A sec. No, yeah, I have that though. I got that Blood Dragon, which was really cool, because that was on sale for super cheap. I can't remember, Daryl, what it's called. Give me a second to figure it out. Then the Tomb Raider game, which I haven't played, the Guardian of Light. I thought that was pretty fun. So yeah. Mirror's Edge is $5, which is probably one of my favorite games of the last generation. So just really just piling up a lot of stuff. So it's been pretty good and I've been like kind of hooked into the digital domain. In fact, I'd like to see the prices like for digital only get a little lower, but I've been considering going digital full on even for retail just because just the way the UI is set up for the Xbox One and stuff, it's just so nice to just pop between apps, you know? The disc just becomes a delivery system because the whole thing gets installed anyway, so and it sits in there for like DRM purposes, I suppose, but I don't know, I'm pretty into the digital life, but yeah, it's foolhardy of me to build up this back catalog, which is, I mean, Blood Dragon was a ton of fun. I haven't made a dent in that really, and I don't know. I got Dark Souls. I download Dark Souls for a couple bucks, tried it out, and lost some interest. I don't think I'd ever. I know it's supposed to be punishingly hard, but it didn't play fun for me. And I know some people swear by that game. So I don't know. It didn't seem like it was a lot of fun to play.
Yeah, that one's supposedly kind of a slow burn. You have to kind of really let yourself get immersed in the mechanics and how the game forces you to play itself. I've thought about trying it. I've kind of got into the digital stuff too, partly through PlayStation Plus, which I've subscribed to for a while, and had this giant back catalog of, you know, essentially quote unquote free games, which does take away some of the impetus to play them. I think when you get a lot of stuff cheap.
Yeah.
A little harder. If you know, I remember the days when, you know, you'd get like an NES game for Christmas and that would last you like till your birthday.
Right.
So you'd play that thing to death. And now it's like, oh, I got this game for free, so I'll play it for 20 minutes and then I'll play something else.
Like you kind of inadvertently assign the value of that game to the value you, you know, paid for it. You know, fair or not. Fair or not. But it's like, yeah, I totally understand what you're saying from.
Yeah. I've also gotten to the point where the length of games is a determining factor. If it's longer than 10 hours, there's a good chance I'm just not going to finish it.
Yeah.
I did last speaking of PS Plus, last week I played a game called Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons, which is really cool. The mechanic in that game is you basically have two characters on screen. They're brothers, surprisingly. And each one is controlled by a different analog stick and trigger. So, which is kind of hard to wrap your brain around. And there were times when I'd get them kind of mixed up on screen and they'd just go off in totally different directions because I was doing the wrong thing. But it's like a 4-hour game or something like that. So perfectly good for free and, you know, definitely worth the money. But it's kind of a slow burn, but really built up to some pretty compelling stuff for a video game. I know it got a lot of praise for its story. So that's a game I'd recommend people check out at some point.
And, Daryl, it's Chronicles of Mystara is the name of the Dungeons & Dragons game?
I think I read about that.
So, like, you know, my wife and I was on the lookout for those kind of two-player games, kind of hack-and-slash loot games, and this is very much like that. So, so that was kind of fun. But I heard The Guardian of Light was a fun two-player game, too. So anyway, just a lot of stuff to carve through. So let's move on to stuff we got going for the site. Daryl, back to you.
It's a good week for me this week for the site, outside of Mary the Children. My favorite thing this week is the collector's edition of Darkman, which I haven't seen in years.
Oh, nice. You scored that one. Excellent.
I haven't watched it yet. It's going to be what I watch after this. It's going to be my reward for houring this. But it's got a commentary with Francis McDermott, which is new, I believe. I don't think it's got a lot of new extras, and I'm not sure about the transfer, but I am excited to see it.
Nice. All right. Trying to remember lingering visuals from that movie. Like, you know, Liam Neeson rocketing through the air on fire. I remember that.
Yeah, that's the big one I remember.
Yeah. The bad guy, like, falling, like impaling on some gratuitous spikes. That was pretty cool.
I remember a cigar cutter. That's about as much.
The cigar? Ooh, yeah.
Totally right.
And then, of course.
I think that was my first introduction to the concept of cutting cigars. So thank you, Darkman.
Good lesson.
Yeah. And then, of course, and I can't believe I'm blanking on his name. I'm terrible. But what's his name? The cameo at the end there. It is being a Raimi film, of course. Come on.
Bruce Campbell?
Bruce Campbell, thank you.
Oh, yeah.
You got the cameo at the end.
Yep. Of course he is.
So, nice. Well, that'll be you'll deserve that treat.
That will be fun.
All right, Eric, how about you?
Nothing this week and probably not for a little while. I'm on baby watch at the moment, so I've taken myself out of the reviewing while I prepare. Because I don't want to have something, you know, I don't want a hot new release, you know, wasting away in my DVD player while I'm changing diapers, so.
All right. I think that's the prudent adult thing to do.
I guess.
I actually have quite an interesting, more interesting slate than I had in a while. So speaking of state stuff, I had Ken Marino's Bad Milo, which I watched, which I enjoyed. It was it was fun. It was offbeat. It wasn't – there's some funny parts. And Jillian Jacobs, right, from Community, that's her name?
Yeah.
She's in this too, so the cast is good. You know, it's about a little demon that lives inside Ken Marino's intestine and crawls out his butt to kill people that, you know, give him stress. So, but it's actually not as – it's played more
– Japanese.
It's played more straight than you would think. So it was entertaining. I would say I was entertained watching it. It wasn't like – and that's about it. You know, I wasn't laughing real hard and it wasn't like shocking or anything. So, but it was like a nice B-movie. I know that's not – I know that's kind of faint praise, but a movie that really wowed me was something called The Prey, a French action movie, which I'm telling you, the French put out good action movies.
They do good action. They always have.
They do good action movies. So my ears perked when I saw this available for request.
What's it called?
The Prey. I did a quick look on it. It had gotten pretty good. You know, the synopsis sounded cool, so I just scooped it up. And a really great movie, like a really great thriller. A lot of some nasty surprises, well-paced, cool characters, just a really good action flick that, you know, definitely more inventive and more interesting than, you know, any mainstream action movies I can recall. So I would really recommend The Prey.
Director made the really bad remake of One Missed Call a few years ago.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
With the American remake?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
I don't know what it is with these, the foreign directors who kind of get trapped into crap Hollywood movies. But, you know, when they're on their home turf, they do better. So
yeah, they do. No, this I'll watch this.
It's just selling
it.
What's that?
A French action movie without Vincent Cassel in it?
That's right. A lot of like people. I will say that there's a female cop in this movie who's awesome, and the best way to describe her, she looks like a hot, badass version of Julie Haggerty from Airplane. That's the best way I can describe her. But she that she was an awesome character.
Okay. So Julie Haggerty from Airplane?
I guess Julie Haggerty. Okay. There you go. So anyway, good stuff, The Prey. And then I just now finished watching something called Vikingdom, which is stars Dominic Purcell from Prison Break, kind of parading around as this Viking warrior with the same charisma he has in everything, which is none. And it's super low budget, real bad acting, but these guys go for it. I'll give them that much. Lots of they go for the action, they go for the blood, they go crazy with special effects, but it's just all low budget, and the acting is just so atrocious. So it's a bad movie, and you laugh at it, but it's not boring.
What did it air on?
I don't know if it aired anywhere.
I thought it was a TV show.
It's a movie.
Program.
I think it's a movie. Movie. It's a regular movie. So,
gotcha. So I mean, is it Viking dumb? Can you even fit that?
It's very Viking dumb. It's very Viking.
Okay. I mean, I just think it's maybe a little bit too good for that. This is serious.
Charging for these things, Eric.
I'm willing. If you ever need any, terrible puns for your reviews, I have very reasonable rates.
Sign you up. Right. So actually, pretty interesting lineup for me. And then I've got the Schwarzenegger Stallone Escape Plan ready. I haven't watched that yet, but that's poised.
That's not going to be good.
It probably isn't. And a show that I know is not going to be good, but I figured I would just give it a whirl anyway. House of Lies Season 2, which I reviewed the first season, and pretty annoying and not very funny. The Showtime show with Kristen Bell and Don Cheadle.
That's right.
And they ruined John Ralphio.
That's right. He is on that show.
So, all right, that's it. So I don't know. Have you guys checked the upcoming stuff? Do we have anything worth
earlier?
It's a little sparse.
Let's see if there's anything interesting at all. Yeah.
Real quick. We won't even do our interview really sleazy. Just see if there's anything.
Unless there's something.
Do you see anything?
Anything Night of the Demons.
Yeah, it's pretty low key.
WrestleMania for wrestling fans who didn't.
Yeah, Joni Loves Chachi, the whole.
Oh, and Family Matters. That's okay. Yeah, I hate City of Angels more than almost any movie I've ever seen, so there's that.
I watched that. So.
It was a really, really shoddy remake of Wings of Desire.
Oh, yeah, I know the movie. I just don't remember. It got some play.
I think
it was mainly because of the Goo Goo Dolls song.
Absolutely,
more than anything.
I think
I had the soundtrack to that somewhere.
Actually, there it goes. As long as you admit it, as long as you're comfortable enough to admit it, that's good.
I did. It's got some good stuff on it.
All right, well, we're making excellent time, so which is good. I might be able to chance to watch Arrow tonight, so I appreciate it.
I might get an extra episode of yes. Children in.
That's right. Lucky you.
Yeah.
And Eric can continue on Baby Watch. So.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I'll find something.
So, okay. Let's just do our ambush topics. You know how this works. We'll get right to it. Daryl, why don't you go first?
Forest fires.
Firestorm, baby. The mother of all forest fires. That was a special Friday filibuster view-a-thon movie, I believe. It is an actual firestorm. It was when a cold front hits a forest fire, and it yada, yada, yada. I can't remember. Who's the guy? William. Oh, who's the bad guy in everything? Who is that guy?
Not William Sadler.
No, he's a bad guy and everything.
Forsyth? I don't know. I'm blanking on
Forsyth, him. You're right.
Am I? I don't know. Boy, that was one of the few William names I know.
No, you delivered him. But he gets his face exploded and melted because of the firestorm. So, yet Howie Long is safe under an overturned rowboat. I don't know how it works, but it works like that. So.
Okay, well, this movie has firefighting, plane firefighting in it. I don't remember. I remember watching it. The movie Always, about the pilot who dies and is a ghost and.
Oh,
no,
Spielberg.
Yeah,
I vaguely remember that.
I mean, it's been
Who's in that?
Richard Dreyfuss.
Okay.
I want to say it's a Dennis Quaid joint, but I'm not sure. It's one of those. Although maybe I'm getting confused with Interspace. Kind of the there but not there pilot situation. But I have to look this up now. Always 1989 film. That's the one. Anyway, I remembered Holly Hunter, Richard Dreyfuss, John Goodman. Yeah, it was. I remember being okay when I was 10 or something.
Sounds good.
And it has firefighting.
Let's see. They are okay. Theoretically. Pete Sandich, played by Richard Dreyfuss, is an aerial firefighter flying a Warsurplus bomber dropping fire retardant slurry to put out forest wildfires.
Oh, exciting.
So, boom.
Wow.
All right. So I'm going to go with
– That was really old news with Eric Asperger.
That's good, though. It's good news. That's good
vague recollections with Eric Asperger.
All right. So I'm not quite – it's not actually a fire – a forest fire, but it's forest fire prevention, because the only reason I have this topic is because I thought of this joke earlier right before we started. Is in the Simpsons episode where Homer is forced to go on company team training in the mountains. And
I already know the joke. Go on, sorry.
Okay. The rest of the family tags along with him, and they're not allowed to go, so they're hanging out in the visitor center. And Bart is standing at the equivalency of Smokey the Bear and pushes the button, and it asks, who can prevent forest fires? And it's got two buttons, and one says you and one says me. And Bart presses you, and the bear answers, you answered you, meaning me. That is incorrect. The correct answer is you. And I love that joke. And so, anyway.
Excellent. Good. Forest fire prevention works. All right, I'll go next. We go with the forest theme in Raging Rapids.
I need to think of a related topic and then change my Ember topic to be something natural. I'll work on that seating
first. All right, good.
Anyway, Green Week on the filibuster?
It is. It absolutely is.
You see the little green logo in the corner, right?
That's the little NBC.
Yeah, you can tell.
All right, so I'm going to go with the scene in Deliverance where they're running down the rapids on the little makeshift boat, the makeshift, like, sled boat or whatever, while the inbreds are shooting at them from the cliff. I believe that happened in Deliverance. It's been years since I've seen it.
I have seen it once myself, yes. But that sounds accurate.
That's true. I think there are multiple Raging Rapids scenes in that movie.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I got to go with Temple of Doom.
Oh, good one. Yeah, they assured me. Very good.
Okay.
Now, do you think they would have survived that fall on the raft, right? They jump out.
Yeah,
they jump out the plane and inflate the raft.
I think anything's possible. I mean, the chance of one of them surviving is probably reasonable. All three, they don't get a little bit. I think it's also possible everything that happened after they went over the rapids was just a dream sequence.
Oh, maybe an afterlife.
Could be like that, or like, Last Temptation of Christ, where everything takes place in that moment, kind of that kind of thing.
Way to draw the direct line from. Yeah, Jones and Temple Doom, The Last Temptation of Christ. Excellent.
Yes. I've been working on for it.
I'm going to go with an underrated little action, speaking of action movies, a little underrated action gem, The River Wild with Meryl Streep. Remember that one? Did you ever see that?
Mm-mm.
That doesn't ring any bells?
It rings a bell, but I never saw it.
Yeah, man, that must have been in early 90s, mid-90s. Like, the kid from Jurassic Park is in it. David Strathairn is in it. And Kevin Bacon, actually, is the bad guy. And It's a pretty good little action movie. Basically, Kevin Bacon's a criminal on the run, and he forces Meryl Streep, who is this like champion rafter or whatever, and the family was out and about, and he just forces her to take them down this crazy river to get away from the cops. And it's one extended rafting sequence, but it is an effective little movie, I will say. So
do they end up in the Land of the Lost?
That is in the sequel that never got the green lit. But
okay.
So
it's one of my favorite TV show openings.
That was a great opening.
It's a great song too. Anyway.
Nice. All right, Eric, why don't you finish this up?
All right. Well, I'm not gonna go with the natural theme because I can't think of an answer to anything I would come up with. So but you might be able to take this in a nature direction if you want. Movies you wish people talked about more.
Mm. So this movie called The River Wild. Okay, no.
Uh-huh. Sure.
For no, it's a movie you wish people talked about.
Sure, think of a lot that I wish people talked about less.
like maybe
topic.
A movie not getting.
I understand
credit.
That's not the topic.
Yeah. We're looking for good movies
yeah.
that we want to celebrate to end on some positivity.
That's maybe not getting the credit.
I could twist it into a negative.
You cannot twist this.
I can't. I could.
Thanks. That's right.
So I'll go last just to be sure to end it on a negative.
let's see.
Oh,
surely there are lots of obscure horror movies, Daryl, that you,
you think
are really, really well done that no one
that's right
has seen.
You know, I would have said, again, thinking State, I would have said, like, maybe Wet Hot American Summer. But yeah. I think it's pretty well regarded from, like...
Well, at this point, with all those stars having gotten
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I've always thought it was kind of an under-the-radar thing, but...
It's still under the radar, yeah.
I was just talking to a coworker of mine who I didn't know if she would... I said, do you ever hear Wet Hot American Summer? I love Wet Hot American Summer. So maybe it's... I'll use that anyway because I think it's funny and, like, could be talked about even more. Like, I think when you – because David Wayne is kind of on the up and up as a – you know, and then you're seeing all these State guys. But you don't really hear a lot about Wet Hot American Summer, which was – I think it was Wayne's first feature film, really. And I don't know.
No, I think – I think that was a movie that has grown in – you know, it's got a much better reputation. I think when it came out, it just completely flatlined.
Like, I think you're right. Yeah.
I've heard them kind of talk about it, but yeah, that totally.
I mean, just as far as like a, I mean, just like even people who like it, and it's getting talked about in the cult, but I think it's just, I mean, it's just such an absurd and just legitimately funny movie, you know. And it.
Quite a lot. So, it's probably still
fun. Yeah, we're so hard up for like actually funny movies.
Right.
In the age of date movie and Meet the Spartans, so I think, yeah. And maybe I'll do a quick addendum and I'll say, again, similar, probably people who've seen it tend to like it, but I think Top Secret, as far as those spoof movies, to me is a very strong one. It usually gets overshadowed by, you know, your Airplanes and Naked Guns and whatnot. But I have a very soft spot for Top Secret. That's it.
All right, so I'm going to go with what turned out to be the best $6 DVD purchase I ever made.
Nice.
Which I bought specifically because it was $6 and I was not leaving the store without something. This is a long time ago. It was a 1995 movie called Habit, by a director named Larry Fessenden who hasn't done very much, over the years. But, it's a movie about a guy who's slowly falling into alcoholism, but meets this woman who, takes him away from his friends, and basically it's a vampire movie that's wrapped around an alcoholic movie. And it's really, really, really cheap, and it's really, really, really good. And nobody's ever going to talk about it, but, you know, I wish people would.
That's good. There you go. You found something
nice. That's
to recommend. We want to recommend movies, not tell people.
Yeah, I was going to turn it negative by doing something that would be a movie that I wish people talked more crap about. But I'm not doing that.
That's not our mission statement.
You
find things people should watch, you know.
Just saying how I could have done it.
Yeah, I know you could have done it. You could have done it very easily. you got an Uzi's worth in the chamber ready to go. Any given time. I know. I'm gonna go with the movie that I watched a ton when I was a kid, I think because it must have been on the Disney Channel or something, and we recorded it. But I hadn't seen it again until just a couple of weeks ago when I watched it on Netflix, and that's The Adventures of Mark Twain, the Will Vinton claymation movie.
Oh, yeah, all right.
Interesting.
Have you seen this?
I think so. It sounds familiar. I probably saw it a long time ago, but I know what you're talking about.
I wasn't sure how it was going to hold up. It's really great. I mean, I think it's so different than almost anything else, not only because it's, you know, a clay animation movie, because it's, you know, not just because it's about Mark Twain, but it's got this really kind of specific point of view and style and sense of humor and kind of really bittersweet kind of sadness about it. There's a lot in it about, you know, loss of loved ones and accepting your fate and death and all these things that you wouldn't expect to find in a kid's movie. And I'm not really sure it is a kid's movie. I mean, it's kind of – if people have heard of it in recent years, it's only because there's like a scene on YouTube, famous one where the kids in the movie are Tom Sawyer, Huck Finn, and Becky Thatcher, who are real people in this world where Mark Twain has built this airship that he's going to take into space to meet Halley's Comet so he can die. It's a suicide mission with Mark Twain. It's kind of the thing in the movie. But there's a scene where the kids encounter Satan, So, you know, this is not exactly a movie for kids, but it's really good, and I think more people should watch it and talk about it, because I think it is not the same old at all. So,
very nice. That's good. What a positive way to wrap everything up here.
Exactly. That's what I want to go with.
Fantastic. So, Daryl, because we missed your edge, I'm going to give you the last word that Mac would usually do. Okay? So I'll let you cook something up nice and nasty, all right? You know, if you want to leave people feeling cynical and jaded, all right? You got that? You got that, your assignment?
Yeah, but it's not going to probably be that. But
okay, well, then how about a line from Married with Children?
That's what it's going to be.
Okay, so that's it for the Friday Filibuster. Thank you, Daryl and Eric and Mac. We will reunite soon, I'm sure. So everyone have a good weekend. If you're in Atlanta, God help you with those 2 inches of snow. It's brutal down there. So, and have you guys seen the pictures of those traffic jams in Atlanta by any chance?
I have not, no.
Oh, my God.
I have not.
Same.
I've heard of it, but yeah.
Yeah, it looks like The Walking Dead out there. So,
Is it kind of like – I remember a gag on – I think it was Garfield and Friends, where it was something where they showed this guy who had been stuck on an escalator for hours.
It's close. Okay. I think you're about right.
Kind of just standing there, not able to move, even though I've
entire. Yes, I think you are not incorrect with that. So that is it for the Friday Filibuster. I will give Daryl the last word, and I'm really hoping for a good Married with Children quote. Go for it.
I scored 4 touchdowns in 1 game.